Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is number 835 on RadioMD.com and iHeart as usual. We have a great guest for you, Dr. Elissa Epple. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Is the co-author of the book with Nobel laureate Elizabeth Blackburn, The Telomere Effect. This is a wonderful book because it dispels both many of the rumors we have about aging and telomeres, as well as gives us the real data on that. And so I'm really, and it's written as a scientist would with all the facts, but it's written in a compelling and wonderful style that gives you information so that you can act on it. Dr. Epple, is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes, that's right. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. I tweeted about this, that you would be on, and so our listeners, we have about 55,000 podcast downloads a week, and our listeners were nice enough to send a bunch of questions. So I'm going to start off with them, and hopefully you'll explain what telomeres are. I've done a little bit of that beforehand, but let me go and ask you one of their questions. They said, if our telomeres, those are the ends on the chromosomes that protect them, decrease with age, do they decrease at the same rate in all of our cells? That is, do the telomeres on muscle cells and brain cells and sperm and ovary cells and white blood cells all decrease at roughly the same amount, same rate?
It's a perfect first question. And the answer is no. We have different aging of different tissues. The telomere length in all of our tissues are correlated. So we start off with a telomere length that is inherited from our parents as well as shaped by our experience in the womb. So mom's stress and health and nutrition is influencing our telomere length at birth. And then it ends up in every cell, so 300,000 trillion cells. Sorry, of all our trillions of cells, we have about 3,000 trillion telomeres. So they're in every cell and they're sensitive to our environment. And even though they change at different rates in our different tissues, they are correlated, meaning if we have short telomeres in our blood, we tend to have short telomeres in our brain, in our heart tissue. But here's the thing. Yes, they shorten with age based on the clock, but really aging is elastic because that correlation is pretty loose. That doesn't explain so much. We shorten at different rates based on our lifestyle, our mindset. So it's really our quality of time and our subjective sense of time that is really tied to our cell aging.
And the next question was interesting, was have you followed people long enough to show that if someone does the same habits as a twin, for example, would the two of them decline at the same rate or increase at the same rate if they're managing stress or exercising? Or do they always be individual? And is there enough individual and vary? I guess what they're asking is there so much variation in the environment from person to person that they're really dependent on the local environment rather than their overall habits?
Yeah. So we do know from lots of studies now, different intervention studies that assign people to stress reduction or mindfulness or exercise, that we can boost telomerase, that this is a flexible system, and that telomeres tend to be more maintained and stable when we are taking, you know, one of these programs very seriously, so that we're either becoming fit or we're engaging in some type of a meditative practice or mind-body practice on most days. So that's the good news. So we can control our aging more than we think. The first time I think that hit society in a big way, that paradigm shift, was, of course, real age. This, you know, that was a huge lesson to the medical field that we should look less at our years of aging and much more at our are what we can control each day and our microcosm.
Well, you're too nice. But one of so you have cited probably the biggest area in aging, which is managing stress. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously a big area for you as an individual. So talk to me a little bit about how stress helps with both obesity and telomerase.
Okay. Big area for me, both personally and professionally. So, you know, we have absolutely where I've just immersed in stress, and that's part of living. So it's not about avoiding stress. I heard someone decided not to go back to work after they heard me speak. So I just want to be really clear. That was very disturbing. That it's not about work stress doesn't shorten telomeres. It's work burnout and demoralization and that type of emotional exhaustion when things are just beyond one's resources. But actually, work stress itself can appear to have an effect. So what we know is that we each respond to the same situation so differently. And we have different levels of stress sensitivity or vulnerability. So we have these assessments in the book where people can look at their different aspects of their personality, what types of thoughts and feelings they have to stress, whether they're having this really exaggerated threat response, which we know is what wears us out more quickly over time. When we feel like we can't cope, we ruminate, we keep the stress alive, that's what triggers all of that cortisol and inflammation and really wears out the telomeres. Other things like pessimism versus purpose in life, conscientiousness. So there are traits that kind of keep us really stable and sturdy throughout the years, and then there are traits that wear us down more quickly. So we can learn about our tendencies, be aware of them, and that's what it's about. It's awareness so that we can surf the waves that will inevitably come rather than kind of be sucked under by them.
And one of the things, I'm coming to you from what we call the beautiful Cleveland Clinic Wellness Institute in Lyndhurst, Ohio. And we're at this incredibly peaceful wooded setting that is unique, if you will. But one of the things we have developed and studied is a program called Stress Free Now. I'm not trying to give a plug for the program, but one of the things that was really surprising when we started this, we collected some biomarkers on patients people who had, quote, high levels of stress. And we use the perceived stress scale as the marker. But one of the things that surprised us was the people who went through the program lost weight. They weren't in it to try and lose weight. Many of them, as many Americans, are overweight. But they lost about a pound a week going through and learning how to manage their stress. Have you found this in other programs?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yes. So there's a little bit of weight loss just through stress management, particularly if people are real emotional eaters. We do weight loss studies with, you know, adding mindfulness training to a low glycemic diet. What we find is that the mindful eating and the stress reduction may change weight a little bit, but what it's really targeting is better glucose control. And that's beautiful because that's what matters. We tell people, don't look at the scale. You know, you can bring down your weight a little bit, but once you hit the highest point, your body's going to fight to defend that set point. And what really matters is your metabolic health. And so mindful eating, doing these, surfing the urges of those cravings and doing these check-ins right before they eat, that really does help people regulate their overeating in a really powerful way. We have some different meditations, like a craving meditation, on our book website to help people get a taste of that.
And what is the book? Well, I should tell what the book is again, The Telomere Effect. It's a superbly written book. But let me ask you what the book website is so we can refer people to
it. Right, just the name of the book. So it's www.telomereeffect.com. And that's TelomereEffect, Telomere Effect.
So telomereeffect.com, telomere, I guess it's pronounced differently than I do normally, and not just because of an Australian accent of Elizabeth Blackburn.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's also coined the term telomerase. telomerases to enzyme.
And so that's, let me go and ask a couple questions about that, because we've had these from our, if you will, the Twitter responses to my tweet that we were, and other things that we were interviewing you. And one of them was, why doesn't external telomerase, why can't I just take a pill with telomerase in it, or some way of absorbing it, or some cream or something, and lengthen my telomeres and live longer that way? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, darn. I wish we had a pill. I wish best of luck to all the pharmaceutical companies who are working on this. There are some mild nutraceuticals out there that, apparently can increase telomerase. I think that the issue here is simply that within the cell, we want to increase telomerase to a healthy, natural level. And so getting that right is actually really important, because it's a double-edged sword. If it's too high, we're at risk of cancer. And so if it's too low, we're at risk of all of the diseases of aging that are degenerative, heart disease, dementia, osteoporosis. So getting that fine balance is the trick. And putting it on the skin won't get into the cells. Taking the herbs might work, or, taking these supplements, but they haven't been studied in the long run. We need federal funds to study them in an unbiased way, because cancer develops slowly over years. And so what our book is about is all of these natural, safe ways that have been studied that boost telomerase to normal but high levels.
And apparently there is something in many of us, many things in us, where you have to have, if you will, the right amount, where too much and too little is a problem. Now, let me ask you, when you look at aging, your own aging, if you will, and I know you're doing meditation and everything else, but you also work in a very competitive environment that has a lot of stresses associated with it.
My mantra is I do the best I can. So I absolutely need my own mind-body exercises, the things that I found that I like, that I feel a positive addiction towards. And if I don't do them, I'm completely out of whack, because I do lead a pretty high-stress lifestyle. And so, the good news with telomeres is none of these extreme things seem to help telomeres. Caloric restriction, running marathons, and it's the small everyday things that we all can do that are associated with that stability throughout life, stability in old age, moderate exercise, eating lots of vegetables, but not, completely cutting out a food group or completely cutting out carbs. So, we've got a paper in press showing that long-term caloric restriction, if anything, it's not lengthening telomeres, it may be shortening them. So all of these extreme things that we can't stick to anyway don't appear to help with this long-term aging factor.
Now, I should ask you about periodic calorie restriction, as Victor Longo is advocating.
Okay, I'm going to say big question mark there. Lots of hope there. I hope that works. That can trick the body into this healthy anti-aging response. But we know that the long-term is problematic. But that intermittent, I would say, doctors still out. Lots of good research on that. Fingers are crossed.
And we should say that in this book, The Telomere Effect, and I don't know, I haven't gone to the website yet, but my guess is on that website. But the book is wonderful in that you go through all of the things, or at least many of the things, that have been shown to make a difference in quality and quantity of life, that is, in living without disability longer, or what you call increased health span, and how to get them and what it does to the telomeres and telomerase. So this is wonderful in that respect of how we do it naturally. Obviously, if the nation did it, we wouldn't have a budget crisis, because we wouldn't have as much chronic disease. But let me get to your own thoughts on aging. What do you think is the next 20 years? Will we extend the human lifespan as much as we have in the last, say, 40 years?
you know, that's such a great complicated question to throw me at the end. I would say that, you know, our kids who are born now have a great chance of becoming centenarians and living longer. Whether they're healthy centenarians who are living a life of vitality and meaning and health, that's the big question. And we have large segments of our society that are not thriving and are not extending their lifespan. They're dying out of distress and despair, suicide, drug addiction, et cetera. So clearly that's one, you know, public health problem we face. But I would say optimistically that we are absolutely moving toward health span at 100, that we know how to control health span. We just need to do it as a society, create both a healthier environment, not just have us all struggle alone with our own health behaviors. Doing it together and, you know, creating less toxic food environments. We banned soda. We have no sugared soda on our whole campus at UCSF. That has helped everyone, but especially our service workers and our low-income population who was drinking roughly a liter a day. And they needed that boost, and they welcomed it, and now they're barely drinking any soda. So things like that, that just help people get out of these habits that are ingrained in their communities and homes, we can all help by boosting our institutions to being healthier social, supportive environments, as well as, you know, promoting the activity, the break. And how about presence of mind? You didn't catch me on my weird statement. I said our subjective sense of time is actually tied to our cell aging. We'll be publishing that sometime this year, that our presence, our engagement and focus versus our negative mind wandering when we're wishing we were somewhere else. We're finding relations between that on a daily basis with our cell aging.
And you do in the book talk about focusing on, if you will, every time you see the picture of a telomere in the book, that is of the end of the strand of the DNA, what I would say is the shoelace tip, the aglet, that you actually ask yourself if you are present or focusing enough on the presence. So that is in the book, and it is a wonderful book. You've been listening to The Telomere Effect, the description of it by Alyssa Apple. Dr. Apple is the author, along with Nobel laureate Elizabeth Blackburn, of this book called The Telomere Effect, which is a wonderful book teaching us how to live younger, healthier, and longer. And really common sense and common habits that can be automated. So The Telomere Effect, thank you, Dr. Apple, and thank you for bringing the science of the telomeres here and of spending time with us. I hope we get to do it again. The book is The Telomere Effect. You've been listening to podcast You, the Owner's Manual, number 834, on Radio MD and iHeart. Thanks for listening, and Dr. Apple, thanks for writing a great book.
Thank you so much.